Brothers and sisters, pray with me. Abide with us, O Lord. Walk with us along paths of doubt, uncertainty, and fear. Be the faithful companion that hears our questions, humbles our souls, and opens our eyes to your power and presence among us. Help us to proclaim your good news that the grave has been conquered and death has no sting over us. And love is our compass to you through Christ. Amen. Isn't it interesting how the scriptures can take something that is totally repulsive and turn it into something very different? The patient and enlivening love of God has been compared to a flowing river, cleansing waters, and consuming fire. We can therefore appreciate the sense of Christ's humor when choosing instead to compare God's love to a pile of manure. Now, for those of you who are farmers and who know and appreciate the fertilizing effects of manure, this may be a wonderful analogy. When you also consider the fact that Jesus ministered in an agrarian society, this would be a fitting and appropriate analogy. But for those of us who deal with dung in other kinds of ways, I imagine it would be quite difficult to assume the role and place of that fig tree. Many of us might see the unfortunate incidents that are described prior to this parable of the fig tree as instances where people were in the wrong place at the wrong time, like individuals walking without umbrellas below flying elephants. Our growing pessimism toward life has conditioned us to prepare for the proverbial Dumbo droppings from on high. But this parable of Jesus catches us off guard when he says that manure may in fact be a good thing, divinely sanctioned, especially when it comes from the ground up, and we find ourselves surrounded by it as the fig tree, knee-deep in dung, for our own good. The problem with the parabolic fig tree was not that it didn't grow, but that it didn't bear fruit, namely figs. The fig tree represents Israel, the people of Israel, whom God anointed to spread the will and the way of the Lord. But it may just as easily represent any individual or community or even the church blessed with the challenge of conveying the healing love and presence of God in a sick and wounded and divided world. Figs were commonly appreciated in ancient times for their medicinal value in treating sores and lesions, along with the fact that they also tasted good. But if the tree failed to bear figs, then it served no one. It took up needed space and was unfit to be called and treated like a fig tree. The same applies to the church. If, like the fig tree, if we are unable to live into our responsibility and purpose of being, then we take up needed space. We serve no one. We serve no one, not God, not ourselves. Like the fig tree, it is not enough for us to grow as a church, but to grow in such a way that we bear healing and life-changing fruit. For we defeat our purpose and betray our calling if our ministry is not a means by which the world may be healed and transformed. We disqualify ourselves as a body of Christ if our pews are filled with persons satisfied with the way things are and who endorse a way and life and worship that does not upset the status quo and challenge our complacency. Jesus acknowledged the fact that the random nature of human freedom that God so lovingly allowed has both good and bad consequences that even God cannot prevent, causing caring and decent people to die prematurely. But this freedom is part and parcel of a wider random network of cause and effect that characterizes the cosmos in which we live, where joyous and tragic circumstances grow together like flowers among weeds. The most difficult funeral I ever conducted was that of a 3-month-old child whose tiny body struggled to survive in spite of physical complications that accompanied his birth. But ultimately, his fight for survival could not withstand the odds mounted against him, causing the family to prayerfully wonder why God would do such a thing to such an innocent life. Crud falls from the sky and piles up from the ground, leaving us to prayerfully wonder why it had to strike with such rancid, fatal, and devastating force. The book of Job believes that God is in league with Satan when bad things happen to good people, to test their convictions to hold true to who they are, even in the most trying circumstances. Now, this belief may not be far from the truth. While I believe that God is not idle in tragic and unfortunate circumstances, I nonetheless believe that we, as divinely conscious creatures, are well suited to the environment in which we live, with all its joys and heartaches. Let's face it, brothers and sisters, we would not have lived well in paradise. We are people who are in constant need of changing our environment. Adam and Eve might as well have been those individuals who were saying to themselves, I really don't like the way God placed that tree of life in the middle of the garden. Maybe it would go well over there instead. Let's eat of the fruit, and maybe he'll try and hide it someplace else. We would not go well in paradise. Albert Camus said that man is the only creature that refuses to be what he is. This, I believe, is because there is an innate divinity about us that suffers with God the hardships and heartaches of life, but refuses to accept them as the final word and instead strives to overcome such tragedies so that future generations may not suffer the evils of hunger, homelessness, polluted water, land and air, prejudice, and premature death caused by sickness, disease, and violence of any kind. God is in the outcome, but God is also in the striving. The gospel good news is that the manure, the dung, the crud, and the crap will not have the last say. O death, where is thy sting, says the Apostle Paul. O death, where is thy victory? Yet one of the most important roles the church will play is that of instructing and equipping its members to accept that the only way we can grow into the strong and lasting tree that bears fragrant and nourishing fruit is by enduring the foul, fertilizing manure that will enable us to flourish, even as we realize that the only way to the resurrection is through the stench of the passion, crucifixion, and death of Christ. A recovering alcoholic described his road to recovery by saying that it was the most agonizing ordeal I ever endured, but I had to crawl through the stench of my own self-imposed hell before I could glimpse the light of heaven. As a church, we must guard against becoming addicts to a convention of growth that fails to bear fruit. For godly growth is both a joyous and painful ordeal, a fragrant and foul-smelling experience. One of my favorite former television series is Northern Exposure. Do you remember that? It's about a New York City physician, Joel Fleischman, who agrees to serve a rural Alaskan town called Sicily, Alaska. A particular episode finds Dr. Fleischman's hands full trying to treat nearly everyone in this small town suffering from an outbreak of the Russian flu, causing attitudes to become testy and intolerable. Fleischman tries to convince the residents that since there is no known cure, the best thing to do is wait it out. However, when his native Alaskan receptionist, Marilyn Whirlwind, administers a homemade herbal treatment called Hyo-Hyo-Ipsenile, which stinks to high heaven, the town experiences a swift and scientifically unexplainable recovery. Sometimes extraordinary circumstances require extreme measures that defy conventional norms and cannot be explained scientifically. Like Hyo-Hyo-Ipsenio, God's ways defies conventions. The prophet Isaiah says they are not our ways. But more than anything else, they get the job done. It is our covenantal pledge to our children who come after us, to our peers who walk with us, and to God who guides us, that we will grow and we will bear fruit, that we will never cease opening ourselves up to the exciting and challenging possibilities God has in store for us. Jesus, like the gardener who intercedes for the fig tree, intercedes for us, that we may know the full potential through the fertilizing kick of God's love and God's Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, prepare yourself for a most exhilarating and aromatic experience. Pile it on, Lord. Amen.